So yes, today we're focusing on the story of Moses, and specifically his call in his life. And the thing about Moses was that when God called him, he was so hesitant. He's like, I can't do this. Like, he was so hesitant, he didn't even want to do it. And the thing is that even though Moses felt that he was weak and he couldn't do it, that's where God comes in, and he uses our weaknesses as his strength. It kind of reminds me of the time when I was first called. I just became a Christian. I was about 16 years old, and I felt God was calling me to be a pastor. And I was like, that's a good joke, God. There's no way I could be a pastor. Not a chance. And this is probably like my third day ever going to church. And the pastor's wife stops me in the middle of the hallway as I was heading over to see my friends. And she goes, I see you being a pastor. And I go, thanks. and ran away as fast as I could. But it comes to that point where I realized that this was something I wanted to do. And I remember being at camp, and I was a camp counselor. And it was near the end of the week, and it was an altar call. And the boys that I was counseling with went up to the front. And at that moment in my life, I was like, God, if this is what you're calling me to do, where I get to invest in people's lives and come alongside people, I'll do it. And I humbled myself, and I realized that this is something God was calling me to do, but I couldn't do it on my own terms. I needed God with me. And so the call of Moses is split up into three parts. The first one is that God reveals himself to Moses. The second one is he shares the needs of the Israelites. And the third one is that he tells Moses to go. As it says, and the first part is God reveals himself to Moses, as it says in Exodus 3:1-5. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of the Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come here. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for how great you are. And I thank you that you call every single person, whether at times we feel like we're inadequate, and at times we don't feel like we can step up to the plate. But God, when you call us, we can do it through you. Thank you for how great you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So with Moses is that, when he was called, he's been a farmer for about 40 years now. Moses used to be in Egypt. He grew up there, but one day he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew man, and he ended up killing that Egyptian. And what ended up happening is he was in exile. He had to flee. And so for about 40 years, he's been in exile. And he was tending the flock, and all of a sudden he saw this burning bush. And the crazy thing is that he realized that this bush wasn't burning. And this type of bush is called acacia, next slide. And as you can see, it can pretty much burn really easy. This bush is mainly used for kindling, and at times these plants can catch on fire during certain occasions. And the crazy thing is that Moses saw this bush and it wasn't being consumed. And the angel of the Lord appears to Moses. But this actually wasn't just a normal angel, a created one. It's actually God speaking to him. It's Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant, the messenger from God to man. You know, and why you can tell this is not a normal angel is normally you can actually look at angels, but you can't actually look at God. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid. And God appeared to him and told him of what was happening to the Israelites in Egypt. And that basically they were enslaved and they were being oppressed. You know, in the very beginning of Exodus, it actually talks on basically how the Israelites were growing into a great and mighty population. And the Pharaoh at this time was so nervous that he chose to enslave them. And basically, but even though they were, like, enslaved and oppressed, God didn't give up on his people. That he had a plan to actually bring them from slavery into the promised land. And he called a man like Moses to do the job. See, Moses, he was a Hebrew. Any boy that was born would be killed. And God called Moses from the very beginning because Moses grew up in the courts with Pharaoh. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. And even though he didn't feel like he was adequate or he could do the job, God called him. See, the bush is not just a representation of the Israelites. It also can be a representation of us. Basically, how we could be dealing with persecution or we could be dealing with certain things in our lives, and we could feel like we're engulfed by this flame, but we're not burnt up yet. God's still holding us. God's still protecting us. That maybe you feel engulfed. Maybe you feel like you're engulfed by this flame, but God's there. He understands your pain, and he's going to help you through the situation. He did it with the Israelites. He brought them out of slavery into the promised land. It's kind of like the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and how they refused to bow down to the king, and they were forced to go into the fiery furnace. But yet, God, they weren't engulfed by the flame. God protected them. He was there with them. So maybe right now you may feel like you're engulfed by the flame. I want you to know that God understands your circumstance, that you're not alone. Just hang in there and know that God will bring you out of that flame into the promised land. We just need to trust in him and his ability and in his timing. So second part of Moses' call is that God shares the needs of the Israelites. As it says in Exodus 3, 7 to 9. Then the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. See, with Moses, God tells Moses that he's seen and he's heard, and he understands the Israelites' pain, that he's been hearing their cries. You know, that God wants to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, that as they've been enslaved, that he wants to set them free. And see, God shares this need with Moses so that Moses will feel in his heart to go and to help the Israelites, to lead them out. See, God was giving his eyes and his ears. That he was called to he's one man, and he was called to bring a nation out of captivity into the promised land. That God wanted the Israelites to experience freedom, to be in God's presence. He didn't want them enslaved anymore. He didn't want them to suffer. He wanted them to experience him. That God understands and hears our pain. God doesn't leave you nor forsake you. That maybe if you're feeling like you're suffering, God understands. And he's going to bring you out of there into the promised land. See, when we were stuck in bondage and enslaved, Christ died on the cross for us so that we could have eternal life with him. Jesus endured the pain of sin so that we could be set free, that we don't have that sin or the bondage or anything, because Christ sets us free, that he brings us out of slavery, that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are free, that we don't need to have this bondage or we're not enslaved because Christ sets us free. That we are set free. And I remember in my first internship, I did this in Barrier, and it's, if you don't know where that is, it's 45 minutes north of Kamloops. It's a small town of 2,500 people, and I didn't want to go at first because city boy going to a small town. And this place was broken, and it was hurting, and youth would go out and drink and do drugs because they felt so lost. And there was addictions, and there was bondage in that town. And God gave me that heart, my heart. He softened my heart because maybe I didn't want to go. But here's the thing. God shows us needs of people. He reveals it to us so that we're called to go out and to share our freedom. So has God revealed something to you? Is there something that maybe you're called to do? That someone maybe in your workplace or in your school is suffering. Maybe there's a way that you can help them. Are you listening to what God is revealing to you? Are you listening to his heart? Are you seeing and hearing? And the last part is God tells Moses to go. As it says in Exodus 3:10-17. Come, I'll send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. But then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and have seen and have been done to you in Egypt, and I promise I'll bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. So the last part with Moses' call is that God tells him to go. God tells him to go and talk to Pharaoh. And that's kind of a pretty scary thing, because if he makes Pharaoh mad, Moses could die. You know, and the first thing that Moses says is, like, who am I to do this job? I can't do this, and you know, it seems that Moses is nervous, and maybe he's a bit of afraid, but actually what this verse shows is that Moses is showing humility more than he's showing fear. That he's not seeing himself as, I can do this, but he understands that God is the one who can do it. See, when we think that we can do it, then God can't really use us. If we're not humble, if we don't show humility, then God's not there among us. And God can work with the humble, because that means that we're more dependent on him. that we can't do things on our own. And when we try, we end up burning ourselves out. We end up getting tired or things fail. And even though maybe at times we feel that we can't do it, we serve a really mighty God that can. We serve a mighty God that he can do all things. That all things through him we can do. You know, and the thing with Moses is that even though he was nervous, God encourages him and says, "You don't have to be, because I'm with you. That I'm going to help you through this." And Moses was the only one who's able to perform these miracles because God helped him. That he was able to depart the Red Sea was all because of God. You know, and Moses was a man who had a hard time speaking. He had a speech impediment. And he's like, "God, how can you use me? I can't do this." But God's like, "I'm your God. I am with you. Don't worry." When we humble ourselves, it means that we give our weaknesses to God. And God uses our weaknesses as his strength. And this is why I didn't want to be a pastor at first. You know, I could barely talk to people one-on-one, let alone if God was calling me to talk in crowds of people. But I humbled myself. And I realized that, okay, God, if this is what you're calling me to do, I'll do it. We need to be like Moses, humble ourselves. You know, and I love ministry. I love doing, I love working with people and encouraging them. But I won't be able to do ministry without God's help. And this is why we need to humble ourselves. Understand that God can work through us, through our weaknesses. And so, guys, have you given your weaknesses to God? Have you accepted your call in your life? Maybe you don't feel like you're good enough, but knowing that God's with you and he'll work through you. And I just want to invite the worship band to come back up. Maybe during this time, I just want you guys to kind of reflect. Reflect on what God might be doing in your life. Maybe he's calling you to something higher. And maybe we just need to humble ourselves. Maybe some of you feel like you're engulfed by this flame and you don't know what's going on. I want you to know that God's there with you and he's going to bring you out of it. Maybe Jesus Christ brings. And I want you to know that your life will be so much better when you accept him as your Lord and Savior. And so I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you for how great you are. I thank you that you call people like Moses, where people are in sin, where people are in bondage and in slavery, and you come and set us free. And I pray that we would learn to humble ourselves and be like Moses, God, and follow your call to our lives. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.